Welcome, everyone, to Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, C.P. McGregor, inviting you to be the guest of the Salvation Army for the next half hour. Our star this week is Constance Cavendish. The family album, with its fancy covers and brass hinges and memories, has, for the most part, left the American scene. The pressed flowers, locks of hair, and a faint, somehow old-fashioned smell are no longer with us. But the stories which these old albums told us still live. We've got one for you this week in our story titled Family Album. It's not really an old story, and yet it is. I think you'll see what I mean as we hear Act One of Family Album, written by Arthur Tibbles and starring Constance Cavendish as Catherine Carell.
Family album of Catherine Carell. I hold it here in my hands, an old-fashioned album with time-faded red plush covers. Here in the album of the Carell family are time-faded photographs, naturalization records, a child's report card, all the hopes and the ideals of decent immigrants, old-fashioned and wholesome. America with pipe and carpet slippers, and every mother's dream of a son who'll grow up to be president. I first knew Catherine Carell many years ago when I was young and new at my Salvation Army work. It was in the crowded tenement district of New York just after the end of the First World War. That was when I first saw Catherine Carell. It was on the east side. I had just concluded an open-air Salvation Army meeting.
Please, You will not mind. I do not bother you if I speak to you.
Bother me? Well, of course not. I noticed you listening all through our meeting and...
All of it I did not understand. That it was religion, yes. Not perhaps of my religion, but for all of us, there is the same God, yes? And you did not mind.
Mind? Well, this is our work. Where there are people, we bring his word. You're a stranger here in New York?
Yes, a stranger to New York. Also a stranger to the United States. But it will be our country. We will learn and become citizens. And not be, how do you call it, green...
Greenhorns?
Yes.
Yes, that is a word from the old days. But you said we. Your family, perhaps?
My husband?
Oh.
Oh, you see, I am young, but already an old married woman. 6 weeks we were married before we began our journey.
Well, then may I say welcome to America, Mrs.
Carell. Catherine Carell. My husband is Thomas Carell. And for your welcome, we both thank you very much. But you, sir?
I'm Lieutenant Becker of the Salvation Army.
Oh, you're our most good lieutenant, Mr. Becker. In our own language, Thomas and I both read and write, and there are books. And soon, our English must each day improve. That is why I stood to listen to you.
And you're welcome to all our meetings and to our headquarters. Here, the address is on this card. Now come in the evening, if you will, and bring your husband along. It'll give you both a chance to use your English.
Oh, thank you. And please do not think that we forget our own religion. To our own church we go too. But, you know, they think to help us and they hold services in our own language.
Well, you're always welcome with us.
And now I must take no more of your time. But for your welcome, Mr. Lieutenant Becker of the Salvation Army, for your welcome, once more we thank you. And this address, we will remember. We will come to your Salvation Army because you have been good to make us welcome. Our very first welcome to America.
That was my first meeting with Catherine Correll on the streets of New York so many years ago. But it was not the last, for she and her husband came often to our meetings and to the social gatherings. The album? Oh, I haven't forgotten. See, I hold it here in my hands. I had found it in one of our salvage stores. It was already an outdated thing with its red plush covers, its brass hinges and clasp. A mid-Victorian relic. Just how the album, mint fresh and unused, found its way into discard, I'll never know. But I saw it, and it covered me with a flood of remembrances. A moment later, I bought the album. With it under my arm, I returned to my office and found Catherine Correll there. She was obviously excited and pleased. My wife always called Catherine the happiest young bride on the east side of New York.
Lieutenant Mr. Becker, you will not mind that I disturb you, sir?
Well, it's always a brighter day when you disturb us, Mrs. Correll.
Oh, you and your wife, you always say such happy thoughts. But this is of importance.
Then nothing's gone wrong, no trouble, eh?
We have a problem, Thomas and I.
All right.
So you are the man who can settle problems.
Well, if I can help...
Woodrow Wilson Correll. This would be a good name. A good name for a son. For an American boy.
You mean you're... Mrs. Correll, how wonderful.
And it will be a son. Oh, girls, they will come later. But Thomas and I, we are sure. But the name, this would not be wrong. Woodrow Wilson Correll.
Wrong, indeed not. He was a great man. He would have felt honored.
Oh, then it is not wrong to give such a name to the son of a... Well, a neighbor woman called us Bohar.
Of course not. Just a minute, Matt.
Oh, you've dropped your book. Here, let me pick it up for you. Oh, such a pretty book. I've never seen a book like this. What is it, sir?
Well, see for yourself. Open it. And that's the way. Just unsnap that clasp. You see? 30 or 40 years ago, every American family had one of them. See there? Places for photographs, pages with forms to fill in for births, and christenings, and school records. And...
But this is new. Not ever used.
No, someone's discarded gift from yesterday. Perhaps a dream never realized.
Could such a book be purchased now? It would be expensive, yes? Oh, such a lovely book. Such a lovely thought, all of one's family to keep.
Well, I'm afraid such an album hasn't been sold in stores for years, but...
Oh, that is not good. If they were now for sale, and not too costly...
Well, now, Mrs. Correll, you understand this album is old-fashioned, and...
Oh, is it old-fashioned to treasure love of one's family? No. And this book... Oh, here, take it. It is a lovely thing.
Mrs. Correll... If you like it so much, please, will you accept it as a gift from my wife and me? A gift for Woodrow Wilson Correll?
For me, and for my Thomas, and for our son. Oh, yes, this is a gift I accept, and I'm proud to receive. Oh, this is such a lovely gift.
And now, once again, the album is in my hands. A third of a century later, the pictures, the records of the Correll family are here. The son is born, Woodrow Wilson Correll. Thomas and Catherine are naturalized and become citizens. And with scarce hard-earned dollars, the Correls open a small store, and the son begins his schooling. Kindergarten, grade school... And Thomas Correll is dead. Catherine is widowed. But she goes on 16 hours a day in that little shop, and the boy grows. Her baby growing up and moving on. The precious dollars saved for college. For a bachelor's degree. A master's degree. Finally, a doctorate in science. And a place in the laboratories of a great government project. Catherine Carell grows ever more tired. Her once brown hair is gray. And she's happy. But what does this blue paper tucked here into the album? A subpoena to appear in federal court. That was the day when Fred Spellman came from the United States Attorney General's office to see Catherine Carell.
But first of all, will you tell me again your name?
Spellman. Fred Spellman, Mrs. Carell.
And you say that the government sends you here to me?
Yes, I am from the office of the United States Attorney.
The United States Attorney, the government, the same thing, yes?
Yes.
But, Mr. Spellman, such a thing you ask of me.
But believe me, I have no other choice.
Remember, to his mother, a grown son is still only a baby in her arms. And a mother's duty is to protect her baby. These things you must know. And knowing, you ask me to testify in the court.
Mrs. Carell, let me put it another way. The government of your country, through the law of your country, charges your son with the betrayal of the United States. Your son is charged with the transmission of vital secret information to an enemy of his country.
Mr. Spellman.
You and only you can testify in regard to certain top secret documents brought into your home by your son.
This paper you handed me.
An order of the United States Court. A subpoena. I'm sorry, but I might as well tell you now, Mrs. Carell, the government intends to demand the extreme penalty, and the truth of your testimony may determine whether your son lives or dies.
The truth of my testimony may determine whether my son lives or...
Now, you must appear in court. You must testify. You will be sworn to tell all you know about this charge against your son.
I understand what you ask, but what shall I do?
Now, Mrs. Carell, please,
One more minute, Mr. Spellman.
Oh.
Sit down beside me. Look, if this old album could speak, sir, it could testify why our whole life is in here, in pictures, in records. All the things that happened since I come so long ago to America. Things so important to me. To my dead husband. To my son. See, Mr. Spellman, this picture. Look, in his christening robe, my son.
Yes, Mrs. Carell, your son.
That made of us a family.
An American family.
And then this next page. So, you see? This little flag?
Oh.
This little American flag. That was Papa's flag.
Your husband?
Some man who visits the courtroom. You see, Mr. Spellman, I have been before in a courtroom. Some man who visits the courtroom where, when Papa and I are made citizens, this man gives the little flag to Papa's hands. Now, this is your flag, the man tells us. And I keep it always in the album. And that night when Papa dies, he tells me, keep always the good things in the album. And I keep everything here, always. Mr. Spellman.
Yes, I really must go now, but you do understand.
I understand that I must be in the court when you try my son. That part I understand.
And that you must testify?
The law says, Catherine Carell, you must tell the truth.
The truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth? Believe me, Mrs. Carell. No, don't get up. I'll let myself out. Miss Carell, I'm terribly sorry, but we can see no other way. Until we meet in court, goodbye, Miss Carell.
Goodbye. The truth about my son, my baby, my Woodrow, growing up in grade school. Such a picture this is. And his first long trousers. Ah, he thought he was a man grown. And all those years in college. And his commencement. Ah, this is the announcement. The only announcement. Perhaps all this began on that night. It was late coming home that night.
I'm late, Mom. I know I'm late, but... Well, I did have someone to see, someone pretty important. Oh, here, I brought you this commencement announcement from the university. Here, you take it.
Oh, first, a big kiss from my big son. Mm. Oh, no. So you are a little bit late, of course. You are so busy. My boy who graduates Doctor of Science from the best school in this whole country. And at the top of his class, too.
Oh, no, Mama, this is foolishness. Here, you better take this announcement and put it away with all the other junk in that ridiculous old album of yours. You have everything else tucked away in it.
Oh, but the rest of your announcements, Woody, please. I have made a list. The people I send announcements to. Oh, so many people I want to know how fine is my son. I have more than 100 names on that list. From way back, your first teacher, Mrs. Turner.
No, Mama, I won't have a lot of announcements sent out.
But your friends, your schoolmates...
I don't want any announcements sent to anybody. Friends and schoolmates, that nonsense finished. What good can they do me now?
Oh, what kind of nonsense talk is this? Other people we always need.
Look, Mama, now I have an education, a future. Oh, of course you helped me ever since Papa died. And I'll take care of that. You shall have a check every month. See, I have a job on a secret government project lined up.
Oh, Woody, my son, your mother asks for nothing. Always everything is for you. But don't you see, Woody, I am your mother.
Oh, and what's more, I don't even want you to come to the commencement.
Woody, I should not even see my own son become Doctor of Science.
No, I don't want you there. It isn't necessary. And anyway, I have other plans, my own plans. You've got the announcement of the ceremonies. Take it. Paste it in your stupid old album. It's just another sentimental part of your life that you may just as well file away. Now, I'm going out again. I have a date for dinner.
But your food is ready to be put on the table.
Well, you won't have to do much cooking for me in the future. In fact, I'll be moving out of here very soon now.
Of course it was a girl. And to him that was so important. And I knew that she would come here to see me. To see the mama. Girls, they are like that. Perhaps the new mama they will not like. But always they must come and see her. So she came here to see me, and I fixed tea for her.
Woodrow told me that he'd never mentioned me to you, Mrs. Carell, but you didn't seem surprised at all when I...
Surprised? Oh, some things a mama is always knowing, Mona. Oh, Mona, this is a nice name. Maybe it is your mother's name?
My mother's name? No. Her name is Rachel.
Rachel? Oh, that is a pretty name.
Pretty? The name of some quaint biblical character. And she actually named me Lotus, her little dream flower. But I changed it. Believe me, the days when girls were named for faithful characters or pretty flowers are over and done with. Women have their own place in today's world.
Women have always had their own place in the world, my dear girl. The sugar and cream there.
I don't use sugar or cream.
At your age, Mona, I used not even a cup or saucer. From a glass I drank my tea. Not very often did I have sugar either.
There's no use in wasting time, Mrs. Carell. I came to tell you that your son and I are going to be married. Your son and I are going to be married.
Oh, so you and my son married. I wish you great happiness.
Woodrow and I are very well suited to one another. He's a chemist. I've been trained as a laboratory assistant. I can work with him. We shall have the same plans, the same thoughts, the same goals.
This is love. I suppose you call this the modern way. But when do you plan to get married? I must make plans for my son's marriage.
Woodrow and I will be married in the surrogate's office at 2:00 this afternoon.
2:00 this afternoon?
He asked me to come here and tell you. Now, he doesn't want you or anyone else present at the marriage.
Not wanted at my son's wedding?
We have decided. No fuss, no foolish sentiment, no black-coated old man with a Bible in his hand. Not for us. This is our marriage, and we'll have it our way. Oh, I have something here for you. Here, take this. This is a foolish idea of Woodrow's, bourgeois sentiment.
Something for me? What is it?
It was your son's idea. He had one wedding announcement printed. Just for Mama, he said. Here, you can put it in that precious family album of yours. Here, take it.
One wedding announcement. Only one wedding announcement.
You have heard the first act of the family album starring Constance Cavendish as Catherine Carell. Since time immemorial, the younger generation has always considered their elders as a little out of step, a little old-fashioned. Progress only is important, they frequently proclaim. Old-fashioned ways must go. Unfortunately, they often forget that the future must have the past for support. It won't stand by itself. The two can cooperate and must, if progress is to benefit mankind. Ask the Salvation Army about progress. They now arrive at the scene of disasters and emergencies with mobile canteens which dispense gallons of coffee in minutes if needed. They employ trucks and cars instead of horses and buggies. The equipment in their hospitals is as up-to-date as science can provide. All this is the result of progress, and the Salvation Army gladly acknowledges it. But they also acknowledge faith, love, hope, ideas as old as man and just as effective in the atomic age as they were in the Stone Age. Old and new, past and future, tradition and reaction, call it what you will, this is progress. Accept the future, but have the past for a foothold. Now, Act Two of the family album starring Constance Cavendish.
The last page of Project 370. See?
But
You've made two carbons.
Certainly.
But the project rule, we make no copies.
4 years of work we've put in on this project. Rules, rules, regulations. It's about time we broke one or more.
A successful work of 100 scientific minds all concentrated on this project. Right here in my hands, the positive proof of success.
Mm-hmm, there it is. This knowledge should be shared. Shared with...
We know that. But the government tries to build a Chinese wall around us. Around you and me as individuals. Around the mass of population. Even around the country itself. The government says we must not talk.
Next thing, they'll say we must not think. All the more reason why we must think. For ourselves. Even for them.
And word juggling. All science must be free in all countries to work, to compare.
Then you must pass on this information. Help them. You know who I mean. Actually, I think we've worked for this day ever since we began. I have a very clever way in case you're watched, spied on, followed. A very clever way.
To pass this on to Ivanov? If you or I were even seen with him.
Your mother.
My mother? Are you crazy? Why, my mother's the perfect type of American who drives us both to distraction. The naturalized alien. The foreign-born who are more blatantly American than the D.A.R. She's a flag waver.
Exactly. And the cleverest man in the FBI would never suspect her.
Oh. But even if it were possible...
Remember, we've learned, been taught to take advantage of the sentiments, the patriotism, the self-righteousness of these true blue Americans. Beyond that, it's perfect. She is your mother. She'll believe anything you tell her because she will want to believe. Listen, here's the exact plan. How we shall use your mother for our purposes.
May it please the court, I shall continue my summation. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this is a crime beyond the theft of property, a crime beyond the assault of person, a crime beyond murder. The account of a crime is the sum of the defendant's actions. We have examined the defendant's actions, and because he would not let us examine him, his actions must speak for themselves and for him. Now, you have heard the government, with circumstantial evidence, recreate the treasonable actions of Woodrow Wilson Correll. The name is a veritable mockery. The defendant's wife, his co-defendant, has remained silent, too, and that is her right. Nonetheless, there is the witness box, empty now, but I ask you to remember the words of the one witness who did testify there before you. Recall the testimony, the truthful testimony of that brave woman, and execute this defendant for the crime of treason. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, how can you fail to believe the testimony of this defendant's own mother? You must believe the testimony of Catherine Correll and sentence her son to die.
The radio, Mrs. Carroll?
Oh, no, no. It is almost midnight.
And there's still a chance. The president may act.
No. This is not for the president. This is for the courts.
Perhaps a last-minute reprieve, another appeal.
Only one judge may now listen to my son's appeal.
We interrupt the dance music of Larry Roberts coming to you from the Dreamland Ballroom to bring you this latest news bulletin. The last act curtain fell tonight on the dramatic treason case of Woodrow Wilson Correll. He was electrocuted at 1 minute after midnight at federal prison and was pronounced dead 17 minutes later. continue now with the danceable music of Larry Roberts and his orchestra.
Mrs. Carell.
Please, will you lend me your fountain pen, Cornerbacker? I have something to write in my album.
Of course. Here, shall I turn off the radio?
No. Turn off the radio? No. Is it wrong that other people should dance? No. Now, Woodrow Wilson Carell, born New York City, May 15, 1926. Died April 1, 1926.
2 years later, the family album came to me in the mail. Quietly, unobtrusively as she had lived, Catherine Carell left us forever. And here, at the bottom of the final page of this faded family album, with never a thought of sacrilege, she had written, Catherine Carell, she so loved her country that she gave her only begotten son.
That was the final act of Family Album, starring Constance Cavendish as Catherine Carell. Be sure and listen in again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Heartbeat Theater is a presentation of the Salvation Army and is one of the programs selected to be heard by our men and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Until next week, then, this is your host, C.P. McGregor, saying thanks for listening, and have a happy week ahead.